Wrestlers wrestle. Artists create. Teachers teach. Scuba divers dive. Toddlers wander. And believe me, they do. You'd be surprised at the span of questions that my husband and I get hurled at very often. Comedians, satire. Christians, doubt. The life of a Christian swings back and forth between faith and doubt, joy and sorrow, mystery and revelation, hopefulness and hopelessness. These are all ingredients of living in a world where death and grief are ever so close to knocking on one's door. Yet we also live in a world inundated with the beauty of God's creation, the excitement of a budding romantic relationship, the joy of travel, the thrill of the first bite of a barbecued tenderloin steak, the smell of Nana's biscuits, and the contentment of belonging to a community of faith such as St. John's, where, at our best, we hold together and support each other in times good and bad. The Samaritan Guild and the Daughters of the King could tell you something about this, for instance. I believe that we all desire to live, to build, to flourish in all that we do. Yet even so, it's complicated. Life is complicated. How much more when you add following Jesus, who emptied himself and took on the form of a servant? Life was complicated for the first followers of Christ too, as we see in the gospel reading today. Their plea to the Lord is, increase our faith. This plea for an increase of faith is striking, mainly because the disciples are the ones to unanimously recognize and name what they lack in their lives presently, not Jesus. They name their inadequacy, their need. Jesus responds compassionately to their plea in a way that affirms that desire, their inner longing to be more like Jesus. This indicates to us that responding in faith, particularly in moments when we feel inadequate or in over our heads, is God's will for our lives. Interestingly enough, we are not told which of the disciples makes this utterance. Yet it is suggested that it was a unanimous plea amongst them. This lets me know another thing about Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus responds when we are vulnerable about our inadequacies to him. He acknowledges them and adorns those vulnerabilities with all his all-sufficiency, his dignity, and care. In other words, when you pray today in your private place and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. A prayer known as the Jesus Prayer. God responds with God's prevailing love and all sufficiency. Another example, when you pray, Lord, I know that this is the right thing to do, but I lack the faith to do it. I lack the faith to know that you will continue to be with me. Any such an utterance of vulnerability with and to God, God will respond. The gospel lesson today teaches us that Jesus is bound to respond in faith to our lives and invites the disciples to enact their faith, because faith without works is dead. So, now that we've went down that path, what are we going to do? Paul directs Timothy and perhaps sheds some light for us too. Paul states in 2 Timothy that Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He spends his last days on earth writing to Timothy in this letter from the chambers of an execution unit. Paul is awaiting an imminent end to his life at the hands of a ruthless empire. Paul is at the end of his life's ministry. An end to all the work and hours he had devoted to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, we witness a Paul who fervently encourages his protege, Timothy. Summing it all up, he says, keep the faith. He tells Timothy to not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of him, God's prisoner, but to join in with him in suffering for the gospel. Scholars are led to believe that this was a setting of mass persecution of Christians. Many had abandoned Paul, many. And many were led to shame because the good news appeared to be less good. The good news appeared to be less invitational. The good news appeared to be under attack. Perhaps for us today, this apparent end might look like the abrupt ending of a career, the ending of one's ability to be physically mobile, the ending of one's clean bill of health, the ending of a multi-million investment deal, the ending of one's marriage, the ending of one's independence, the ending of one's pride and joy. You see, in many ways, life is about endings. But glory be to God, in the death and resurrection of Christ, endings are in fact turned into beginnings. The closing of one door is the opening of the other. A door that transcends time, the door of eternity, and the door of the present in which God promises to be with us. Jesus has overcome death. And so in Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy of this prevailing victory. He exhorts him to persevere in faith. And in some place else, I think in the scriptures, Paul encourages him and says, "For the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." My question then is, if this were a letter or in our modern context, an email, or a text, or a Snapchat, or a Facebook message, or an Instagram message coming from you, to whom would it be addressed? Who could you say looks to you as an example of faith by virtue of your obedience to God? If the answer is maybe a bit hazy right now, I would like to invite you to perhaps consider sharing your faith with someone today and going forward. This reminds me of a time when I was in college in Stellenbosch, South Africa, the wine lands of my home country. And, you know, as a student leader, I was given an opportunity of a lifetime. I actually had been talking about a freedom fighter who had resisted the apartheid regime. And the reason why this letter was so compelling was that the school that I went to was the very school that historically had founded the theology that would come to justify the oppression of Black South Africans. It started from people looking to Scripture to justify their means. Anyway, here I was, a student leader, reading this letter, and afterwards an Anglican priest approaches me and he says, "Hi, Mawande, would you like to come to travel to a monastery in France and live there for about 3 to 4 months with young people from all over the world?" And I said to him, "Wait, hold up. Are you talking about Parys? Because in South Africa, there's a town called Parys, not Paris, but Parys." And so he said, "No, Mawande, I'm referring to Lyon, a rural town in France." And I said, "Wait, hold up. Who's going to bear the cost? My family surely can't. I can't." And he said, "Let's talk about this." So he sent me an email. And months later, I found myself in this monastery, this ecumenical setting, where I spent 3 days each day in prayer with young men and women from all over the country. I had a roommate from Lithuania, Singapore, the Philippines, South Sudan, Burkina Faso, Colombia, the Dominican Republic. We lived together there, a life of prayer and simplicity, sharing everything, and I mean everything, except for the bed and the clothes that I wore. It was beautiful, however, and very uplifting. But when I came back home, I was faced with a major challenge. It turned out that one of my college professors had not been as very intrigued by this opportunity, despite the fact that I had received permission from the dean. And it almost appeared as if she had some kind of agenda to, you know, it felt some kind of way, that's what I'm saying. And ultimately, it led to a letter being sent to me saying I was being suspended with no basis, with no grounds. And there in that situation, my faith was tested. All the prayers that I had prayed, all that submission, all that time, the travail, the tears I cried at the fear of being deprived of an opportunity to graduate. But glory be to God, I did graduate in time, nonetheless. It took everything in me and everyone who was around me to support and encourage me in the faith. Glory be to God, I was on the dean's list and barely made it through my Hebrew class. This all to say that when an opportunity of faith to believe, to trust in God comes, opposition will come. But now the question is, when opposition comes, to whom will you cling? Where will you be standing? And in whom will you trust? Amen.